Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, Malibu Funding, Inc. 888-713-2929 is our phone number. Get in line. Get on the phone. Call us right now for the answers you're looking for your mortgage, for your refinance, for your purchase. Maybe you just need some help in deciding whether you can do those things financially. That's what we do. So make sure you give us a call. Also, visit us on Facebook. And you can go to Facebook, Home Loan : Malibu Funding, and you will pop right up. We love Facebook. We love social media. We love to be able to contact you and you, us. Our website is www.malibufunding.net. And certainly you can reach us by email, info@malibufunding.net. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. Today, not with me is Arbi Abramian. Arbi actually has been spending some time. As you all know, he is studying to be a medical doctor. Arbi is a very ambitious and hard-driving guy. He's really qualified at what we have him do. And he's also wanting to reach out and help others, which is why he's becoming a medical doctor. So he's currently out of the country in a relief effort, helping those who can't really afford medical, and so we wish him the best and well. We tried to get a long-distance hookup for the show today to make sure that you were all informed as to what he's doing and how we're helping as a company and he personally, but it just didn't work out technically. So we wish Arbi the best, and hopefully he'll be back real soon. I believe next week he'll be back on the show. And again, we love people that get out there and help others. It's not easy to do, especially when you've got personal responsibilities. And I know my audience, people that listen to this show, they're interested in solutions to help them financially and to be able to get a mortgage or to be able to refi their house. So understanding personal problems and how things are viewed publicly and privately by people. I just want to put it out there that Malibu Funding is all behind people who help others all the time. There's a number of them. Holidays are coming up, and we all know that around Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays, certainly Jewish holidays, around the New Year as well as some others that come up, very tough time for a lot of people, especially those in need. So giving spirit, we certainly support Arbi and what he's doing currently in another country trying to help those people who need medical attention. So let's get right to the news of the day, the news you can use. I wish this was brought to you by somebody. It kind of needs that, right? It needs the brought to you by, you know how they do it on. Exactly right. That's exactly right. But regardless, so we'll search for a sponsor or come up with our own. We're actually trying to come up with some sound effects, too. I don't know why, but I feel like being an AM like disc jockey back from the 50s and the 60s, you know, they had the whiz bangs and the ding dongs. And regardless, top thing in the news today that I saw that was extremely interesting, especially after QE ended last week before QE, as everybody in the audience does know, was quantitative easing. It was really the Fed printing money to buy mortgage-backed securities and bonds in order to support the money that was lent out to you as the consumer. Well, they stopped doing that. It was to the tune of $85 billion a month for about three and a half years. Well, QE3 just ended. And so what we're looking for now is a secondary market to pick up the slack and buy mortgage-backed securities. So I saw, interestingly enough, there is a article today that I saw. This was by Jody Shen, November 12th. Actually, it wasn't exactly today. I guess it is, 2014 at 8:44 a.m. The Treasury urging buyers to make a benchmark mortgage-backed security purchases. What we've got is issuers of mortgage-backed securities and buyers in the private sector buying those. Now, this sounds like complex, big boy, big gal stuff in terms of intellectual meat on the bones, trying to figure out exactly what this means to you as a borrower out there thinking, okay, I want to get a loan and I want the best rate possible. Why do I care about this? Well, in order to supply money to lend to you, banks, issuers, servicers take the loans that they're doing and they put them together in packages, and then that package, let's say there's 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 loans in a mortgage-backed security, which is what they do when they bundle those loans together, there is a number on top of that that they're getting every month above what the mortgage costs, which is the yield that that particular bundle receives, and then they sell that particular bundle, mortgage-backed securities, to the open market to buy and then basically guarantee a certain yield on that product. They're bonds, basically. So the Treasury is trying to bridge the gap between the private sector, who's got to buy those things, and the banks, which are trying to sell those things. And for years, ever since quantitative easing, and certainly before 2008, we did have a pretty strong sector, private sector, buying these things, Wall Street, certainly sovereign funds, which are foreign countries buying in the mortgage-backed securities. There is a demand for them, but there once, when the federal government got out of the business of guaranteeing these things, i.e. quantitative easing, they were buying them, so there was no need for a private market. Well, now there is. So there is an issue today of buying $1 billion worth of these securities. And the Treasury is trying to assure the private sectors who is buying them, whether they be insurance companies or sovereign funds or Wall Street, that these are good loans, that they are valued properly, that they're appraised right, that there aren't a lot of fraud. And then, of course, the borrowers or the – not the borrowers, but the buyers of these mortgage-backed securities, you know, they want guarantees. Well, the government's trying to get out of the guarantee business and trying to assure purchasers of these mortgage-backed securities that they're great loans. I can only look to the last 3 years, 4 years of mortgages that have been out there and the default rate and the steady increase in value in homes in certain areas. Now, what they don't do is what they don't like to do is they don't like to segment the market, i.e., okay, let's go to a market which is ascending in value, which has a very good employment rate, which has quite a bit of demand on money, and the rates are pretty low. They don't say, okay, let's take the Bay Area, which is what I've just described to you as the mortgage area. They don't take that particular area and say, we're just going to sell those mortgage-backed securities, those mortgages, bundle them together and sell those to the private sector. What they try to do is either a lender, Bank of America, Chase, Manhattan Bank, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, they try to securitize over a broad spectrum of loans so that there isn't necessarily a redlining going on, which is obviously discriminatory, i.e., we will lend in a certain area, therefore we'll buy their mortgage-backed securities, therefore we will fund loans in that area. No, that's against the law. That is discriminatory. So they get again, don't do that. Anyway, we're working through that with the Treasury and the mortgage-backed securities. It's a good thing the private sector is trying to gear up and figure out, is this a good, solid way to go? And I personally think it is, knowing that the default rate is more traditionally in line with what it has been or even lower. Okay, what's another one? The election just happened. Everybody knows the election happened. We're all trying to sort out exactly what that means to us locally, what it means to us nationally. What we're looking at nationally is a change in leadership in a lot of the Senate judiciary and Senate banking committees and certainly a number of the oversight committees. Does this mean that since we're supposed to believe that Republican-style leadership does not like a lot of regulation, are we going to back off regulation? Are we going to be able to see a loosening of credit restrictions? Well, since QE ended and Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae have their own guidelines as to what they're going to purchase, I just read today that Bank of America will not loosen its credit standards, even though there is a drop in mortgage applications for both refinance and purchase, probably down 30% from last year. And certainly 3 weeks ago when we had a drop in rates, it's down from that. So Bank of America said, nope, we're not loosening our standards. I don't know what the Republican leadership is going to do about regulatory issues in terms of loosening up the ability for banks to be able to make different types of loans or the requirements thereof. So that's an uncertain area where we're headed, and obviously we'll keep abreast of what's going on. Just what I saw was the mortgage rates are stalling with the rates. The mortgage volume stalls with the rates going up, as everybody does know. it's not quite sure where the market is headed. And what this says for those people who are looking for a house, it's probably a good time for you to go out and buy a house. However, for those people who are looking at refinancing, time to do it is now, because you're going to get the highest possible appraisal today, rather than, let's say, if prices soften between now and the next 3 or 4 months, wouldn't be the best time, because you're not going to get the highest appraisal value. And I know that a lot of people came out of the recession or the mini depression that we had, and they were underwater. And then over the past 2 or 3 years, where the prices went up 13% a year, you find yourself, okay, now I've got 20% equity in my house. That was the time to refi, and you can still do that now. Give us a call at 888-713-2929. Take advantage of the rates, because the rates are still pretty good. The rates, on average, as we talked about and will talk about, 4.25% up to 4.85%, no problem. We need to take a look at your particular file, make sure that your income is there, make sure that your credit score is there, make sure that the property value is there. But those are the national rates, and you can go to many mortgage websites and confirm that. You can go out to Mortgage News, you can go out to just go to your computer, type in Google, or type on your address bar daily rates and give your area or national rates, and you'll find 10, 12 sites. Usually there are banks or mortgage brokers that are trying to get your business, but certainly you can see the rates and where they're headed and what they're going to do now. This is our prognostication for the next 3 to 5 months. Thanks for listening. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Give us a call, 888-713-2929. Thanks.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929 is our telephone number. You can also reach us through www.MalibuFunding.net, which is the website. Go on there, look at all the different loan officers, options, things that you can learn about us. And obviously, there's plenty of our radio shows on there, so make sure you tune in, listen to past shows. And obviously, up into the Bay Area, where we're being broadcast today, as well as Southern California and out in Las Vegas, Nevada. The show is going to be aired and re-aired on a number of different stations around the country, which we'll be able to get to our audience soon enough. With me today is a friend of mine, a guest that I have not had on the show before. His name is Josh Stansel. Hey, Josh, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jeff?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. He runs and owns Infinity Financial Source, which is well, why don't you describe to people what your company does, Josh?
Yeah, well, what we are is a credit card provider. We're a merchant service provider for businesses across the country. And essentially what we do is we help businesses start accepting credit cards. And if they currently accept credit cards, we help them reduce the cost and advance money to businesses as well.
Okay, I had asked Josh to come on. Now, a couple, 3-5 weeks ago, we had another service person who came on the show, Bob Peisner, who talked about his particular merchant services. And I got into a little sidetrack about my own problems with a credit card fraud that I had had. And when I was talking to Josh about it, he had mentioned some things that his company does about advancing money, about cash flow situations that come up in a business that merchant services actually advances money based on receipts and receivables that they actually can prove through their credit card. Can you tell a little bit about what that service is? Because I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's two different types of products. One of them is an MCA. Now, MCA is a merchant cash advance, and essentially what that is for businesses that take credit cards, they're able to receive additional funding based off of their receivables. So if a business, let's say, for instance, does $100,000 a month in Visa and MasterCard,
right,
what we'll do essentially is we'll advance them 60 to 80% of their receivables on average. So that's a great way to utilize the cash advance for merchant cash advances. Now, there's another one. There's the bank-only product. And with the bank-only product, it's not based off of credit card sales solely. It's based off of all of your receivables. So credit cards in addition to cash and check. And what we do with that is we advance the business owner additional funding based off of their total receivables. In some cases, that can be a bit more viable for businesses that may necessarily not use credit cards 100%. So it's a nice way to kind of recapture everything. And the way that they pay back the advance is based off of their receivables. So when they have a $100,000 advance, let's say, or a $100,000 processing month, 60 to 80% of that will be paid back through the or 60 or 80% of that will be given to them for their business advance.
Right.
They pay that back by anywhere from, let's say, about 10 to 15% of their receivables will pay back that advance. So essentially, when you receive a standard cash advance, you have a monthly obligation to pay a certain amount for a particular amount of time.
Right.
With this, it's based off of how much you process, and you pay as you go.
Now, and in for that particular service, now, obviously, this is quite a bit different than somebody who has a Square, who's working down at the local swap meet taking credit cards over the phone. That particular service probably has none of this, right?
Yeah, Square is a great product. It's more so for smaller merchants,
right,
who are on the go. Such as, you know, vendors and maybe small, you know, retail or mobile merchants and stuff like that. But this product is mainly designed for brick and mortar businesses that may need additional assistance for advertising, equipment, renovations, expansion, taxes, inventory, and especially with the holiday season coming up.
Right.
A lot of retail businesses need to purchase additional inventory. So it's really helpful for those type of businesses.
This is a cash flow solution for businesses. Do you income average? I mean, do you, let me think about this. You have 12 months worth of incoming receipts or incoming credit card. Do you average out and then take the average, or do you take the
absolutely
rest?
Okay. Yeah, actually what we do is we average out about 6 months,
right?
Anywhere from 3 to 6 months, depending on the way the business is set up. If the business is taking credit cards,
right,
we're a little bit more lenient on the amount of statements or financials that we require. It's typically 3 months,
right?
If the business is doing a bank product, which is a little bit more aggressive on the numbers as far as what they're able to obtain as a business owner, then we would typically require about 6 months, and we'd average out what their receivables are for those 6 months, and then we'll put together an offer for them.
Okay, and your company is Infinity Financial Source, is that right?
That's correct.
And what is the, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, because this is obviously, if you're running a seasonal business, like you just mentioned, the holidays, and you're hiring new staff, you're putting on extra inventory, it's quite possible that you've got cash flow issues. This may be a terrific solution. And do you, if someone already has a merchant account, switching over is not that difficult?
No, it's very seamless. There's no cost in regards to switching over processors to process for an MCA advance. If they're currently doing bank-only products, it's definitely not an issue also. The way that they can find us is they can go to our website, which is process2save.com, and they can go under our sign-up, and they can go ahead and sign up for a merchant cash advance there, and we'd be contacted by an agent within 24 to 48 hours to go ahead and put together some numbers for them.
Could you repeat that website, please?
Yeah, sure. It's process2save.com.
Okay, process to save. And do you have a toll-free number or some other?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, the toll-free number is 866-251-3575.
Okay, I'm going to segue into another segment that I wanted to talk to Josh about. Josh is also a mortgage loan officer and a real estate broker. Do you find that all three things tend to add to your experience and obviously the way that you can help customers?
Absolutely, absolutely. They very much so coincide with each other. In real estate, one of the things that I primarily do is refi.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you're kind of aware of as
yes,
well.
Refinancing
is something that is essentially where you know homeowners looking to save or consolidate on their monthly mortgage payment.
Right.
With our merchant processing platform, what we do is pretty much the same thing. The difference is that the homeowner obviously owns a home and the business owner owns a business. Business owner is looking for the same solution. They're looking for a way to save or cut back on cost associated with accepting credit cards.
Right.
So we kind of do the same thing in a sense where we kind of recapture everything that they process.
Okay.
And we do an analysis at no cost to them, providing them with a solution to show them exactly what we can save on a business standpoint.
Sure.
Which kind of coincides with the same thing in a real estate standpoint where, you know, homeowners looking to save money, reduce costs, consolidate debt. It's all at the end of the day, it's all about saving.
Absolutely. Now, when dealing with businesses, do you find businesses themselves have a different mentality about saving money, or is it still an emotional process for the business owner to go with you like it would be for a refi or somebody who is looking to purchase a home who comes to you and says, hey, you know what, I want to get this home I need this refi because I have to pay off debt. I know that for myself, when dealing with people about money who are not business owners, there's a lot of emotion in it. Do you also find that? The only reason I'm asking if it's a very emotional process is the difficulty of one versus the other and the ease by which you can make that go away because of your professionalism and what
you know? Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. You know, homeowners definitely do have a lot tied into their home, and there's a lot of investment in that. So I do tend to think that homeowners have more of an emotional approach to refining as opposed to business owners. I wouldn't say that business owners aren't as savvy as homeowners or vice versa. They're both pretty much on top of things. I think business owners are a little bit more aggressive with trying to get the absolute best rate possible.
Right.
So, you know, it's a very competitive industry. You mentioned Square, which is one of the big players in the industry now. So one of the things that business owners are looking for is what's going to be my bottom line. And I think that it's a little bit more less emotional and more so business involved when it comes to that perspective of what the bottom line is going to be at the end of the day, being a business owner. So it kind of sways back and forth, but I would say that business owners more so are looking to, you know, get that bottom line down to as least expensive as possible.
Okay, very good. And the rates for this type of service, they would need to call you on?
Yeah, they can call to get a quote. There's different pricing that we have. They can go to our website, as I mentioned, process2save.com.
Right.
And they can be contacted to, you know, sign up for a merchant account or a cash advance, even high-risk processing, which is something else that we can touch on later. But the way that they can reach out to us is through that, and we'll go ahead and put together a cost comparison for existing merchants based off of their current processing statement. Okay. And within about 24 to 48 hours, we can provide them with the savings analysis. And we also have a $500 guarantee that we stand behind as a processor, stating that if we can't beat their current processing rate, we'll wire $500 into their account.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, hey, Josh, I really appreciate you coming on. I know this wasn't a heck of a long interview for you to be able to talk about everything in the marketplace and exactly how you can help people, but we're up against the clock right now, and we want to have you back. So thanks very much for coming on.
All right. Thanks, Chip. It was a pleasure.
Okay, great, Josh. And again, that's Infinity Financial Source, and that's Josh Stansel. And my name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929. And welcome back to a terrific show that we're having today. I really appreciate the people that have been on the show and will be on the show in the next segment or two. I have a very fun thing we want to do today. I was reading online, as I do every week, to try to come up with topics to talk about, certainly in the areas of finance, in the areas of mortgage, in the areas of need, qualification, processing, lenders, whether it's rate or whether it's closing costs. These are all things that are extremely important to the show, and we have a lot of different guests on who talk about different options that you might be able to avail yourself of. Today, I wanted to talk about the 23 signs you live in San Francisco or need to move there. This is by Rob Guskowski. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's fun. It's kind of a break from that particular world, which is so darn serious, and we can all take a look at ourselves and laugh a little bit. So for the listening audience up in the Bay Area, forgive me if this is offensive. However, this is not my article. It is kind of cute, though. So, okay, the number one. Oh, you know what? Let's do it backwards. Let's do that. What, don't you think, Desiree? I think so, yeah. Backwards is better because then we get to go to the number one, you know, like they do that, all these lists. Okay, the 23rd, you are resigned to the snail's pace of public transit. Okay, anybody? That's very funny, especially since, you know, BART and different underground transportation in all major cities are affected by not only the economy, but by the weather, by the rains, by whatever it is. Yep, if you're going to go local, you're going public transportation. And yes, it is slow. So slow down out there. Enjoy your iPods, your Kindles, everything else that you're doing online on your way to work. Just slow down and enjoy it, especially if you're out there riding a bike around. Oh, my gosh. Be careful of the hills. I've wiped out on many of those hills, so absolutely be careful. Number 22, you know that Mark Twain didn't actually say that? Okay, what's the famous quote? Everybody knows it, right? I spend What is the quote?
Coldest winter.
Yeah, the coldest winter. One summer. One summer in San Francisco. Everybody knows the quote. Well, he didn't actually say that. So what did he actually say? I have no idea. But according to this article, he didn't actually say this. Okay, number 21. You know, costumes aren't just for Halloween. Okay, that I love the city. You know, when I grew up, and this was a long time ago, San Francisco was a different city than it is today. It was a longshoreman city. It was a tough city. It was a city that a lot of blue-collar people worked and worked hard. And well, the city still has all of that, and the backbone of the city is still work hard. But we've taken a high-tech view of it. We've taken a much more liberal and for the better, in my opinion, approach towards how we live, how we treat each other, and how we look at our city. So that's number 21. Okay, number 20, you hike every weekend. Yes, we all do. Well, you know what? If you're downtown San Francisco, let's just take San Francisco as an example. You're hiking anyway. Anybody who's walked around that city knows it's a hike. You're going up and down those hills. Oh, my gosh. You better be in shape. I remember, I was there for a wedding not too long ago. And I forget the name of the hotel, of course. And we had to walk. I think it was 3 blocks. But it was up and down hill. Man, I was exhausted. I was absolutely, it was not easy. And it was really hard. Number 19, you used to long lines and know how to avoid them. Well, that's true with any major city, but certainly in San Francisco. I would tip my hat a little bit if I told you what was coming up and where the lines are and how they were. And so let's get right to number 18 is you follow the fog on Twitter. Oh, that's excellent. Absolutely. Fog lines are very difficult because you don't know where they are. You don't know how they're going to affect your drive, your walk, your ride to work. And essentially, you don't know what to wear. If you're within the fog area, everybody knows you got to wear a slicker. And everybody knows what a slicker is, which is something which is rain gear, not necessarily warm. So, yes, you have to follow the fog line on Twitter. Number 16, your kid's school district was not a factor when you picked your neighborhood. You know what the main factor is when you're picking a house, especially in this area? Can you afford it? Because next week, next month, next year, your neighborhood is going to become the hot, in vogue place everybody wants to move and live. I've seen it. I've tracked it. Places that used to be out in the boonies were not gentrified are now gentrified and are the hot, nice, new place to live. And thank God I got in for cheap. How cheap did you get in? That's the conversation that you're going to be having. Number 15, you watch where you step. Carefully. Now, the quote is, not only do San Franciscans have a ride-sharing app, they have a folder on their phone with multiple ones for peak demand times and different rates. Cab companies, cabbies refuse to go to a lot of neighborhoods. Okay, I understand that. Ride-sharing, stranger haggling with someone who doesn't turn on the meter. Okay, this is number 14. So watch where you step means that zoot de goot. You know what zoot de goot means? Curb your dog in French. So that's my San Francisco cultured way to look at it. Number 14, one ride-sharing app isn't enough for you. Okay, that's what I just read to you about the cabbies and about ride-sharing. Yeah, ride-sharing goes everywhere. Cabbies don't. So be very careful with how you get across town, but certainly you can get there. Number 13, you know the tour of Alcatraz is really good, but I never did it. Now, when I lived in New York City, I can attest to this personally. Now, it's not San Francisco. I love San Francisco. I've visited there a number of times, but I don't live there. And you know what's funny? My kids are getting out of school. I want to be able to go to a major city and just not have to drive. L.A. is a driving city, right? However, going to New York, great, great area, and I love going to New York, but I never went to the Statue of Liberty. Never. And I lived there for 12 years. Never went up the Statue of Liberty. Never went to the Empire State Building. I never went to the World Trade Center. I never went to major. I went to all the museums, of course, right? I have to say that or else they'd drum me out of the city. I went to the Met. I went to City Ballet. All the good things. But I never went to the major attractions. So I totally understand not going on the Alcatraz tour. Number 12. You've been to a Giants game, whether you like baseball or not. I love that stadium. Oh my gosh, I absolutely love that stadium. It's great. It's a great place to go. It's easy to get to. You know, you're right there. Oh man, it beats the stick, believe me. And that was a cold place. I actually haven't been to the new football stadium. I want to go. I want to see what it's like. I heard it's unbelievable, but you know, it's not downtown. The ballpark is. It's really a unifying place. And yes, everybody in San Francisco goes to the game, even if they don't like baseball. Number 11. You've only been to Fisherman's Wharf for an In-N-Out burger. I don't know. I don't even know what that means. So we're just going to go on to number 10. You can't remember the last time you ate fast food. Okay, this is more in line with what I picture my life in San Francisco to be, where, you know, I'm looking currently at a big sailing and a lot of beautiful fresh fish. You know, everything's fresh and organic and you're really into it. But, you know, fast food, no, I'm not much of a fast food eater anyway. Number 9. You've seen the city from a sailboat. Oh, I want to. I want to sail under the bridge. I want to look at the islands. I want to see the city. It's just beautiful. Now, I've been on a boat in the water in a lot of major cities around the world, from New York to Boston, certainly on the East Coast and on the West Coast, San Diego, absolutely. L.A., absolutely, out of San Pedro, although there is no city in L.A. You're kind of just looking at a flat landscape. I've been to San Tropez, to any Mediterranean city you can think of, but San Francisco is one beautiful city from the water, and I absolutely want to do it. Number 8, you get anxious when you don't carry cash. Well, that's me anyway, so I have no idea what that one means. Number 7, you see an extra bedroom as an unfathomable luxury. Now, everybody in my audience absolutely knows that space is at a premium and you're going to pay for it. So if you're not using it, what the heck do you need it for? You don't want to pay for something you don't use, and that's that one. Number 6, you do not flinch at an invite to a drag show. Now, personally, the only place I've been to a drag show is in Los Angeles at a place called Proud Mary's. I must say that I was younger at that time, and it did open my eyes a little bit, but I did enjoy the show, and I must believe that is. Okay, number 5, let's just run through these quickly. You never, ever leave the house without a jacket. Now, that's true. Number 4, you know each neighborhood's microclimate. That's funny, but it's so true, and we sell up there and we talk about it. It's all microclimate. Number 3, you won't settle for Starbucks. Hoorah! I want to do that one. Number 2, you never buy bottled water. Why? Because water's pretty good up here. And number 1, you can't wait for Burning Man each year. Yay! We love Burning Man! Okay, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun for me to go and run through that and just talk to you a little bit about it. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and we'll see you next time. Thanks.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. And stick around for more of The Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. And you, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could tune in and listen to what we're doing. We often do interviews of not only entrepreneurs, which is a series that we try to bring in, very exciting, very positive people who run businesses, own businesses, employ people, but we also bring in talented executives from lenders around Southern California, Central Valley, the Bay Area, where, of course, the show is being broadcast. Hi, everybody up to KDOW. Want to say hi and shout out to them as well. Hi, Pat. And the people in Northern California and certainly out in Las Vegas. Today, we are absolutely excited to have Lisa Negrette from Mega Capital. Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you. Lisa is a account executive for this particular lender, and we work with them on our mortgage broker wholesale channel. And what that really means is that in a number of ways, Malibu Funding does not lend their own money. And what we do is we reach out to those partners that we do have that offer programs and solutions to non-traditional people. I know we've had on before non-QM people, but let's just get right to the heart of the matter. Lisa, how are you today? Well,
very good.
Okay, excellent. I'm great. I was wanting to know, and we use this company for programs that we can't normally go to the traditional wholesale group of lenders that we have. And I had asked Lisa to come on and describe a couple of these programs and then get into the minutiae of how people would qualify for them. Can you give us an example of a couple of the programs that you guys do that aren't necessarily done by other lenders?
Sure. One of the great programs that we provide to our mortgage partners are the portfolio products. That particular product allows small business owners or W-2 borrowers that can actually qualify without having to provide certain documents such as W-2s, pay stubs, tax returns, sign 45060 as a requirement on a standard mortgage financing. So this actually helps these small business owners that can demonstrate the ability to pay, but not necessarily through tax returns.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, a couple things for our audience. What is a portfolio loan?
Well, a portfolio product is more alternative documentation,
okay.
Alternative income verification loans, and asset-based loans.
Now, that particular loan is a loan that you, as the lender, hold on to for a certain amount of time as opposed to selling it right away to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so a portfolio loan with your particular bank would be one that... It would be easier for a business owner who is non-traditional W-2 or someone that wouldn't necessarily have all the documentation needed, and you would loan on that, but you would hold the loan for a certain amount of time. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, and the benefits to that obviously are many to those particular borrowers that are looking for that type of product, but give us an example of a real-world person that this would be like. You said like a store owner, or who else would benefit from something like this?
Well, the W-2 borrowers also can qualify under this program for those borrowers who may have 2106 expenses that they deducted from their tax returns, where therefore they disqualify for full doc loans.
Okay.
So therefore they can also qualify without having to use a tax return income.
Okay, what's a 2106 for those of the people who are listening and have no idea what that is?
I'm sorry, say that again?
The 2106 form that you mentioned, what is that exactly so that people who are listening can understand what you're talking about?
Well, it's a tax deduction. It's a 2106 tax form.
Okay.
It's expenses that they deduct from their business.
I see.
As far as uniform, it could be gas. It could be...
purchase of equipment, maybe. Maybe some office equipment. Maybe some one-time expenses that they write off on their business
exactly.
Tax returns. Okay. So this particular hurdle that prevents them from getting a conventional loan isn't something that would impede the loan with you. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, so what happens then when they're doing a calculation, or for us, now I know how to do it, but for the audience to understand, you will see tax returns or business receipts or bank statements that will prove that there's a certain amount of income coming in every month, and you disregard the amount that they've written off on their taxes?
Right. For example, the alternative documentation we require for the borrowers to provide, let's say for self-employed borrowers, we require profit and loss statement of their business, a CPA letter from a certified CPA or tax preparer.
Okay.
Verifying 3 years in business, 2 year business license, and enough assets to pay 6 to 12 months of mortgage payments verifiable through a bank statement.
Okay, very good. So you're talking about 12 months reserves, correct?
Right, 6 to 12 months, depending on the type of transaction that we're financing.
I see. Well, that's very good. I mean, in terms of the type of business that brings in, are there a lot of borrowers? I know that personally I get a lot of calls on things like this. Do you know, I mean, based on your experience out there in the marketplace, how's this product selling? Do you have a lot of loans like this?
Yes, it's been very successful for us. It's expanding the market for sure. As you know, it's a shrinking mortgage market right now.
Yes, it is.
Based on very slim products that we can provide to these homeowners of ours, basically for the small business owners who can't provide true income on through their tax returns.
Okay, very good. So you mentioned the marketplace itself. We always try to look forward or look around to see where we are in the marketplace itself. What do you see is happening in there? You said it's a shrinking marketplace, and that's because the actual mortgage borrower, there are less of them, or is it because the actual products available are tougher to get?
I would say it's a combination of everything.
Okay.
The MBA's forecast for this year's mortgage lending volumes are down 30% from 2013 levels.
Yep, I can attest to that.
Volume started falling last year as rising rates cut into demand.
Right. How have your rates been affected? Just recently, we've had not only the elections that have come through, we've also seen oil prices drop. We've seen volatility in political landscape around the world. How is that affecting your rates?
Well, from Friday's unemployment report,
right.
Dropping down 5.8 from 7.2 last year,
right.
It wasn't really enough for the Fed to feel confident to raise the rate. So I believe it's the lack of the wage growth is likely the reason for the Fed's cautionary action of raising the interest rate. So to me, I feel that the prediction, I would think that the rates will remain relatively unchanged, plus or minus 2% until 2016, which gives us a bank hope in keeping the rates low for the next 2 years.
That's interesting. Now, your particular money supply that you lend out, is private money? Is it government money? How do you get your money to lend to customers?
It's private money. We sell a lot of our loans to investors.
Okay.
So, basically,
okay. Very good. Well, a lot of the lenders that we do borrow in order to lend are institutional. Some are private. And Lizette's company, Lizette, listen to me. I've been calling you that for years. I don't know why. It's Lisa, and I apologize for that. With Mega, very happy to have you on. The money that you're getting are obviously private money, so this gives you some options and ability to be able to do things that other banks can't do.
Exactly.
It's been really great talking to you. I really appreciate you coming on the show and would like to do it again. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929 is our telephone number. Real happy to have a great show and really enjoyed our guests that were on today. I want to thank Josh and Lisa, both, who came on the show today, did an excellent job explaining different things about our industry and what money is and how credit affects you and what programs different lenders have available for you. There is a myriad of questions that anybody who is listening to the show might have, so make sure you pick up the phone or you can certainly go to the email info@MalibuFunding.net and we'll get right back to you. I usually assign when they come, not me personally, but a company usually when questions come in, general questions, we try to get them to a really experienced loan officer right away. And that would be from a list of all the loan officers on our website. Or you could talk to me personally, or certainly Arby when he's back in town. Wish him well again. Good luck down there helping people who really need that kind of help. I really appreciate him doing that. As everybody knows, holidays coming up. We've got the giving season. Oh, I know one thing I wanted to tell you. I was down at the local supermarket, okay? This is another story here. So I'm at the local supermarket, and I'm noticing that there are these bags stacked up. And I said, well, what are these bags? I asked the cashier, the register person, and she told me, she said, well, we are selling these bags, and then we you can take them and give them to someone, or we can take them down to the local mental health place and they hand them out to people who have them in need. I said, oh, no problem. I had a $20 bill in my hand. How much are they? $9, $11. They're non-perishable goods, and they're able to go out to the community. I said, absolutely. So for, I think it was $9.95, that particular bag was, I was able to, you know, plug into the need. And then I asked her, I said, where is exactly this group? Because I don't know. I'm just coming from the East Coast. I'm just a little skeptical, you know. What's happening to this $9? Not that it's breaking me, of course. But I said, you know, where can I get in touch with these people? And she looked at me. She says, you know, it's the San Fernando Valley Mental Health group. And I went, okay, well, where are they? I really don't know. I said, well, I didn't want to make her feel bad. So I said, I really just, maybe they need some volunteers, and maybe I want to go down there and help. And the truth of it is, maybe I do, and maybe I want to go down there and help. I see no problem in going down there and handing out food. During the holidays, for the last several years, I've taken my children down to a big football field-sized room where they have nothing but raw foodstuffs, and we spend 8 hours stuffing bags filled with foodstuffs for families in and around the area that I live. And we must, I don't know, there must be thousands of these bags. And there's certainly 1,000 people there doing it. I mean, you would have maybe a mountain of baked potatoes. You'd have a mountain of carrots and onions and, you know, put all this stuff together and we hand it out between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I love that we do that. I wish that we didn't have to do that, but certainly there are a lot of people hungry out there. It's that time of year, everybody, and I know that based on who I'm speaking to, there are people in need who are hearing me, and there are certainly people who can give out there. And I want to get a little bit involved, so that was kind of the impetus of me telling the story at the grocery store today and also a little give back trying to go down there. And by the way, it's at night. Yes, it's cold. Yes, we go down there. I'm tired after a long day of work and a long week of work. Yes, but you get down there and you feel good because you actually did do something. You actually helped somebody. And there are delivery people. So my mission is to find out where the San Fernando Mental Health Facility is and go over there, knock on the door and say, hey, it's the holidays. Can I help? Can I help deliver one day, bring my kids over? It'd be great. We do the blanket thing on Christmas where we bring blankets to the local church. Yeah, it's a good thing to do. People are in need, and I certainly can help. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll see you next time. Thanks.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.